This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Thank you all for being here. let's go backwards. Sorry, brother. Let's go right into it. What can I answer for you?
So for us, in these smaller markets, these DNC markets, the majority of our customers are rural.
Yes.
They're in the country.
I know them.
They do this to be independent, get away from the utility company.
Fuck the man.
All that kind of stuff. So it's been interesting for us because in those markets, it's easy for us to get in front of those individuals. It's all about cost. So in this part of the country where we are, Arkansas, Missouri, Kansas, there's no save the world, go green. It's not like a Berkeley or a Seattle where they're doing
this for those reasons.
It's 100%. Will this save me money above and beyond staying with the utility company? And so for us, that's really what drives it. So as we move into the more developed areas and towns.
Or as the process plays out, I mean, you know, I don't know the business well enough. I assume once you put the panels on, you know, it's hard to unwind and move to somebody else, you know?
Sure.
But price is an incredible thing to play on.
Sure.
I built Wine Library on price.
Right.
Price is incredible to play on. I think the question you always have to ask yourself with price is, can somebody come along with bigger pockets and beat you on price?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where everybody, this is the reason Walmart destroyed Kmart and Bradley's and Caldor and those guys destroyed Woolworths. And when you are in the price game, you only have a moment in time.
Right. That's right. So for us.
And to your point, if you want to expand, there'll be other creative pillars you'll have to play on.
That's exactly right. So as we try to get into, not necessarily urban, but just into the neighborhoods themselves, like into town, right? Solar adoption is so low in that part of the country. It's not like being in a Phoenix or a Vegas or California. We see panels everywhere. We've had a difficult time breaking into the towns, breaking into the neighborhoods, breaking into the $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes, rather than someone out in the country that, you know, they buy a solar system for $30,000, but their house is worth $120,000, right? So it's trying to craft and create our marketing and our message to break into a different group of people and talk to them about the benefits that are for them. And it's just something we haven't completely tackled and figured out yet.
So. Have you tried?
Dude, we have, to a certain extent. We've talked about there's a 30% federal tax credit that you can take. So we've tried going to a different demographic and saying, hey, do you want the best investment of the year? Do you want the biggest tax break that you could take? Average tax credit's $8,000. We've tried marketing more along those messages of saying, hey, maybe not so much savings, but let's talk about this from an investment standpoint. Let's talk about this from a long-term standpoint and why you want to do it. But any rhetoric around...
How many different creative... So you said you built it on Facebook, then you expanded.
That's right.
When you won on Facebook, how many different creatives, pieces of creative,
right,
a video, a picture, did you have in that execution?
Dude, probably... at this point, a couple dozen. All video ads of me, 2 to 3 minutes long. Did you know? Educate. If you want to find out more, if you found this intriguing, click below. We'll reach out and do a free energy consultation.
And so what about for the 300,000 to 400,000?
Yeah.
How many different pieces of creative?
We pretty much did the same thing across the board.
And so, the same amount, but different messages?
No, not necessarily different messages.
Well, we would do
different messages to an extent, but we would serve them to everybody.
That's the problem.
Okay. Different message, different audience.
The end,
yeah.
Right? Like anything in life. Like, enough of a scale of a psychographic or demographic that it's worth your time to make the creative.
Right.
And as many as you can. Like, literally, the best way to sell to me on Instagram is to make a New York Jets reference. That's the truth. It's my actual religion. I will pick Jets over everything. Family. Religion, money, Jets over everything. It's the truth. Now, that's not a lot of people. So like betting the farm on Jet fans is probably not the right move. But I'll tell you that what you need to do, first of all, here, and this is gonna be the answer for all of you. Everybody should take away from this. There's the written word, there's pictures, and there's video. And then there's what you say with those things, and then who you target. When you get great at that, everything changes. The Vayner, the company, is going through a big transformation, a new kind of strategic pillar based. Did you guys saw the post I made, the Gary V content model, the 88-page deck? Did that hit your guys' radar? If it didn't, You should see it. It's a very, like, it's probably the most love I've ever gotten from the internet, because I think everybody deeply understood that I could have, that people not like, not me, but people like me would charge $1,500 for that ebook and destroy it. I highly recommend you look at it, but it is the answer to your question.
Yes.
Like, if you live in Kansas City, like, look, if you're a 45-year-old, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a great example because of the hat you're wearing.
Right.
If you're targeting people in Missouri of higher net worth that are of, and you target 42 to 63-year-olds, and you make a reference to the 85 World Series, it's going to work.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
And if you, and if you, and if you layer Cardinal fans and say one thing, or if you layer Royals, it's either that was the greatest or that was some bullshit.
Right.
It's striking emotion to capture people's attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, when you make videos, and you're lucky, you're using yourself, and you're looking in there and you're like, Fort Worth, Texas, I've got to tell you, cool, let's film again.
Right.
Kansas City, Missouri, like, and then you run it against that.
Yeah.
You know, somebody from Scottish or, you know, Wales background versus an American, or versus you're saying to yourself, you're tapped out on what you've got, we got to go younger. Getting four influencers that are cool to actually wear that to start the process of getting 22-year-olds to even consider it, because right now the consideration is, that's, well, you're not gonna run that ad against a 68-year-old Scottish boy, you're gonna run it again. And so, like, it's super important. Like, I'm already happy that you had a dozen or dozens, which is already way further along than most, but it misses the mark. I literally think that you should have 4,000 to 8,000 pieces of content between written word, audio, and video,
right,
and running a $100 ad against it versus a $1,000 ad against 12. It's reverse.
Got it?
Got it?
Yep.
I want you to pay more for your CPMs.
Right.
Because it's more expensive when you go more narrow, but you're actually converting on what the fuck you care about.
Sure.
I'm thrilled that we're paying $22 to get somebody to buy this, because the math works.
Right.
But marketing companies, Vayner itself, others, people that are, they want it to be $7 CPMs, not 22, because that seems right, but then it doesn't play out because it didn't mean as much to them.
Right.
Right? So even hearing your four demos, like, every one of those demos needs its own creative pillars, and then within it, psycho and demographics. There's a big difference between the stage mom and the actual girl in it.
Yep.
And they need to see something different.
Studio owner, the-
are you kidding? So, like, this is about, the word of the day is in perpetuity. Words, pictures, and videos in perpetuity.
Got it. Never stops.
Never stops. And by the way, just even looking at you, and this is not a joke.
Yeah.
Maybe you over-index with urban, right? And maybe you need somebody else making videos. And I would love to know, like, how many homes is the wife or the woman, the decision maker, she's gonna need different shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make a video that's like, yo, bro.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what you should do for a 29-year-old single guy.
I have one other question. I asked this earlier, but, you know, we're at 80 people right now.
Good.
We've done that over 2.5 years. It's a lot of growth. You know, you're at 800 something people now. We took a little tour this morning, checked out things. You've been able to keep your culture
firing
intact here.
Firing.
Just rolling.
Firing.
Right? And so we're hitting a stage now in our organization where now there's people coming through the door that were two or three layers removed from me now. I don't know their name anymore.
Yep.
I'm seeing people that I'm like, oh, I know I should know that, and I don't know that guy anymore.
Yep.
More policies and procedures are getting introduced.
Yep.
Like, we're feeling that happen. How have you been able to grow
firing
your agency like this and keep that culture?
Firing.
Yeah.
You're not gonna know their names. You're a human being. You're gonna lose. Like, I don't have the relationship with number 200 to number 800 that I do from 1 to 200. That's okay. Guess what? News alert. Not all kids have the same relationship with their parents, and there's only one or two or three. Well, two or three, right? Like,
yeah.
It just is what it is. Like, my parents love me more than my brother and sister. I was the firstborn. You know, like, it's just
that's
the way it is.
Fact.
It's facts out here. What I mean by that is, don't dwell on that. And that crushed me. I took so much pride in that. But that's not a winnable game.
Right.
What is a winnable game is firing the 80 people that are the OGs, the three of them within that don't like change, are playing politics, know there's a, you know, when Ken knows Sarah underneath him is more talented than Ken starts the process of eliminating Sarah. That's what you have to look out for.
Okay.
Making sure the 50 OGs, the 20 most powerful people in your company, are playing for the logo, not for themselves. I laugh watching my most senior executives jockey for themselves. I'm untrickable on that. And they, and I, sometimes I let them get away with it for 2 years. It's fine. I'm doing what's good for the logo. But like, if you're not doing what's right for the logo, your time will come here. Just the way it is.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to focus on.
Good deal.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
Be interested in your insight of things shifting in our business, where it was pretty traditional. You had different competitors, everybody was buying online. Now I'm looking and going, wait a minute, things are shifting. People are wanting to sell their own costumes rather than going through us. They're going to Facebook groups. They're going to Amazon, perhaps, Craigslist, eBay.
Individual people?
Individual people.
Not people that have already worn it on a flip, more actually, both.
Yeah. Both. And so it's like mom's gone rogue.
No, it's exactly.
Facebook group.
First of all, I want to tell you something. I love you because you're right.
Yeah.
It's a good observation, and it's a great thing to be thinking about, only thinking about, because it's a huge issue.
And opportunity.
Correct.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out, wrap my head around what's the direction. Because I'm about to put money into redoing a website, and I'm going, it doesn't feel right to do it in a traditional way. I feel like it's like Airbnb, where people want to sell their stuff, and I got to be the person helping them manage.
There's two ways to do it. There's two ways to do it. You're being very smart. Let me throw two things at you. One, yes, here's your problem. If you decide to be a platform instead of a retailer, you need to make sure you have a partner or a very senior person that's super incentivized who has platform DNA.
Right.
Like, I watch people all the time. When I, my hairs go up when I hear I'm starting to build a tech platform 2 years ago, because this is what smart entrepreneurs like you and I do as a mistake the first time I did it, the first time you go into tech. You don't realize now you're in the tech business,
right,
and you need a tech partner, not somebody you hire to build it.
Right.
So, a couple things. That's one. I'm gonna throw you in a different place that I think is super interesting to think about. You're right. So now the question becomes the other thing you could do, which is definitely more in tune to where I think you could go, because I think the first way you'll have to make that big of a decision, which is okay. You may start a separate company with somebody and do a 50-50 JV and still have this. There's a million ways you can go about it. But the way to combat what you're dealing with is quadruple down on brand.
Mm-hmm. And that feels right too.
I mean, you need to quadruple down on brand because there will always be the person who, you need to make people feel like, no, this is the one I have to buy.
Right.
Like, this is the brand.
Right.
Like, that's the ultimate. Right. Like, Nike is never real, like, you're always worried, you're scared, you're being smart, but like people are gonna buy it.
Right.
Like, you have to be the brand.
Right.
And so you have to go from a utility. This is what, you know, it's funny, back to your name, you know, like all those people that built websites that were so literal because everybody cared about SEO and search. And so their company was called, like, you know, hardwaretoolsdepotdirect.com. The problem is, once Google, which is where we're at now, became mature, and it wasn't just about math, and it was about brand, and I know that's where we're gonna go, and we'll get back to you. Like, you know, all of a sudden, they had to build a brand, and their brand being hardware store utilities depotdirect.com is not a brand. So you have to triple down on brand.
And I think we're representing a lot of brands, so our brand is like taking care of those brands and pushing those brands and getting, it's more like taking care of the person who needs a thing.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. So you as a retailer are selling other brands?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing a consignment costume. It might be a Wiseman, it might be a, you know, Wish Come True, it might be
do you have our own brand. Well, that's where you just beat me too. So I would quadruple down on your own brand, like quadruple. If I was still running my dad's wine business, I would probably take us to 35% private label, and I think they're probably at like 2% right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place you can go in the long tail of the internet. Because those brands you just mentioned, their strategy for the next decade is to go direct and not have you involved.
Yeah, but they're also going cheap too, which people aren't gonna want their stuff. So it's an interesting dynamic where you kind of go.
Wherever they go, where I promise you they're gonna go is direct to consumer.
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, I believe it.
Why would they give up the margin?
Right.
The friction's been eliminated.
Right.
Right? So that's what I think you have to do. I would highly recommend going heavy on content around your own brands, paying influencers to wear your own brands, put your brands you know, you have multiple brands that you're private labeling, or one, or
it's one brand.
Good.
But it's a little confusing, but
because it's the same name. So what, help me.
No, well, when we originally saw it, you know, we thought you got to go after skaters, you got to go after dancers, you got to go after, you know, segmenting our
understand
market.
Yep.
Well, that's a lot to manage.
Yes.
And so we kind of, maybe that wasn't the right strategy. So we had Encore Costume Couture for the costumes, Crystal Couture for the, you know, overall stuff, and Encore went under that. And it's kind of like, are we confusing everybody? Do we just pick one? Do we just go Crystal Couture costumes? And
but Crystal Couture Costumes is a retailer that consigns other sub-brands,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm saying you need to create a brand,
right,
and call it like, yes, like when you go to crystalcouture.com,
yeah,
like the featured dress is, yeah, brought to you by a brand named,
right,
Dolly Doll.
Right.
And that's, you own that brand and you try to make Dolly Doll Nike.
Yeah, and I guess we do that to a certain extent because all the consignment stuff is under Encore, and then we have Couture Design by Crystal Couture. Which is,
when you say under, are those separate.coms or when you land on the website?
It's separate.coms that have the same website.
I
we
see.
We lead with costumes and one, and we lead with our other stuff.
I see.
So but the content is all.
I think you should.
Because it complements.
If I bought your into your company and we became partners, our first meeting would look like this. I think we should create a brand,
mm-hmm,
like K-Swiss, like a not,
yep,
like a brand.
Yep.
And make a great fucking dress or costume or whatever it is,
yep,
and fucking market the shit out of it.
Okay. Sounds fun.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the evolution from going from retail, like, to going to being the product.
Yeah.
Because that's what the internet's gonna force.
Yep.
One way or another.
Yep. We're taking it there.
You know?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we dominate the inventory on our business. And I want to upscale my business to selling things that we don't have.
Tell me what you're dominating and tell me examples of ideologically what you would like to add.
What we dominate is on the heavy equipment industry.
What does that mean? Like what? Give me literally.
Like
a dump truck?
We specialize in concrete pumps.
And how much is a concrete pump?
It varies on size and capabilities.
Give me
$80,000 to $500,000. Yeah.
From $80 to how much?
No, $80,000.
$8,000?
Yeah.
To $500,000.
Right.
And how much do you buy them for? $10? No, I'm just kidding. And the reason you're able to find them, like just in that world, how are you marketing, or what's the funnel, or why did you guys get great at it? Is it social media ads? Is it direct mail? Is it phone calls? Is it knocking on doors? Like what is it?
Well, it's product and demand. When, you know, in Mexico,
yeah,
they don't manufacture those kind of equipment.
Yes.
So they're, you know, construction companies, they're always looking for those kind of equipment. So we started advertising in Mercado Libre, which is eBay in Mexico. And we started doing our platform, which is our website. And that's how we first started selling our equipment. So now,
Carlos, you're going to auctions to pick them up, right?
We do
US,
some
Canada,
auctions. Yeah,
right.
We do some auctions, and the way we started our business model was, okay, we started dealing with a lot of dealers, you know, starting helping them with their old equipment that they wouldn't take in, right?
Yeah.
So we like, hey, we'll take your junk, we'll buy it.
Yeah.
We'll buy it for cheap, and then
you'll
have
take
some
money,
yeah, to put into the new equipment, and that's how our strategy.
Love that.
Yeah, and we came to a point where they started financing, you know, the equipment. They're like, take it, pay in 90 days.
I understand. So, what do you want to sell now?
I want to sell equipment that I don't have. I want to open the umbrella to our customers. Say, okay, we don't have this on inventory. Okay, but we have an option that we're going to participate, and this is what's going to come out. Are you interested? And I want to get customers to feel comfortable shopping what we don't have.
I understand.
Right. So
well, I think
they can feel in touch, right?
Yeah. So I think, well, can they feel in touch the other stuff because they come somewhere physically, or they watch looking at it online?
Well, first of all, they contact us on the
phone,
via phone, and then if we get some interest, they'll fly in because we sell, our market is nationwide, right? They'll fly into the nearest airport. We'll pull them up. And then they'll get a feel of the equipment, right? So right now, it's just selling inventory?
I mean, there's only one way, Carlos, that people have ever sold anything that they don't own and they want to make money on the float, on the arbitrage of what they know they can pay for it and being bidding for it. It's only been done based on building trust around the brand. There's nothing else.
Okay.
And there's a, what's really amazing about today's world is like, I think you take a little bit out of what he does and what I do. I think you make collateral videos like and put yourself out there and be like, how long have you been in business?
5 years.
Right, you're like, I've been doing this for 5 years, owning this business. You can say whatever the hell you were doing before then. Right. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, like, you know, you can put money into escrow. Like, you just chip away. Like, there is no magic pill. You need to make the first 50 people feel comfortable and be aggressive at it. I mean, you could put up, you could have the person put up the money in escrow. Like, there's a lot you could do. You could personally guarantee it. Like, anytime I'm doing something that may feel weird, I'm always comfortable doing anything because I know I'm not gonna rip them off. Like, you know, like, you should do things for the first 50 people that you won't do for the 51st person. Too many people go ideological and want to figure out the entire business model on the first transaction. Got it? So all you need to do is have examples. Right? Juan, and Guadalupe trusted me and he got it. Right?
Right?
And what you don't have to tell the world is like, and I put up all the money on escrow too just to make him feel very comfortable. You know what I mean? Whatever it may be. But that's just the way it is. It's no different than when I tell people to do shit for free at first. Like, well, Gary, I'm worth $5,000 an hour. I'm like, says who? If you're worth $5,000 an hour, you should be getting lots of hours and getting paid $5,000 an hour. Like the market decides. So I think if to build trust, create less risk, and you see? Right? And you could do a million different things. I don't know your cash flow. Like, you know, there's a million ways to do it. Maybe for the first time ever, you open a credit line to help you do the first move. Like, there's a million ways to do it. As long as you know you're not gonna take somebody's fucking money and run off, right? I always tell people, like, if you're on the right side of your intent, you should over-deliver for the first customers because your interests are aligned. You're trying to create examples for other people to trust you, and so thus you're willing to go further, you know, financially or credit or sign something you would never normally sign. I do it all the time, to this day. So, I mean, you know, with K-Swiss, or with HarperCollins, I mean, it's funny to see the Snicks or something, it's really funny. I don't remember, but either my last K-Swiss deal or my last book deal, basically I was on the hook. Like, I had to hit it. And basically I just said to myself, well, just buy them and give them away if I have to. Like, I'm not gonna screw the partner.
Right.
I'm not gonna be happy, I'll lose money. But I wanted the example.
Also another question on another note. How do we build our budget for marketing, like on Facebook, on social media? How do you take that number?
You guess. You guess with a number that you feel great about if it goes to zero. So if that's 10,000 bucks and it goes to zero, you learned. What can you afford to lose? You know? On Facebook, for me, at this moment, and all of you know what I feel about it, what can you afford to lose? But it comes into making, remember, the biggest reason people lose on Facebook is they make one piece of content and they target broad.
Yep.
Got it? That's the reason people lose on Facebook. One piece of content and target broad, because they act like a big company. I'm gonna make a commercial and I'm gonna target 18 to 35 year old dudes. That's my favorite part. Has anybody ever met an 18 year old and 35 that are super, they're so not different. Like, just by common sense, an 18 year old guy and a 35 year old guy are two fucking different dudes. Yeah.
For sure.
Yes, of course, you lived it. You know exactly what kind of fucking idiot you were at 18.
The one piece of content you put out that hit me was the things like a media company.
Mm.
You know, I'm a media company that happens to sell kills.
I love you.
Trying.
And what happened when you made that switch? What happened?
I decided I had to kind of go all in with Facebook. I said, okay, we are a now 14 person company. As of a year ago, we were like a 10 person company. So.
You added those kind of people.
I'm doing what I can.
And did you also go more into content? Did you go more into the TV show versus the commercial? Because that's what happens, right? When you understand you're selling by doing brand, you go from being QVC to being Game of Thrones.
I hit the, basically I took one of my sales guys and said, okay, you do vlogging on the side, stuff like that. You're down my marketing department. Great news is I'm also the marketing department, so I get to tell you what to do.
Good.
Every day.
Love that.
So we're doing a Facebook Q&A live session for an hour and a half, first Friday of every month. We take each individual question, chop it up, have content for the full month. We take those long tail titles, put them on Google, strip out the audio for podcasts. So we're following the model. We're actually putting a second story on our building to basically house a television studio and expand. The question is, we're going to be redoing the website. Right now, it's just strictly an e-commerce website. We have a bunch of little toys for the customers to play with. The carton designer, like a tour of our store you can walk around. The question is, should I leave the media stuff, all the free content that we're putting out, live on YouTube and everywhere else, and then have our e-commerce site be a black hole? Or, like, people just come there to shop, period. Or should I try to be, post the YouTube or embed the YouTube?
I understand what you're saying.
Try to put that kind of stuff up on there.
Both will work. I think when people open the can of worms of deeply integrating all this media into their websites, it gets convoluted and most people suck at integrating content into their websites for commerce. So I'm very comfortable in you not, even though you have all that collateral, because it's really like, let's play it out one more time. Nike markets and then you go into a store and buy it. There is that separation.
Right.
I'm not against it. I'm also not against you having a little bit there. I'd be more excited at being a product page level content play than a landing page level content play. See what I mean?
Yeah, we're thinking about putting some of the videos into the pictures
so
people can watch a video Q&A kind of thing there.
Uh-huh. That's what I think. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I think.
The similar kind of follow-up question. We, the outfit for buying a kilt is anywhere from a few hundred bucks to $1,500 or so. We're teaching guys who know nothing about this generally. Our customers are generally very uninformed, and we are happy to do that for them. But it is a scary kind of concept for, you're a guy buying a skirt.
Yeah, why do people do it?
Heritage.
Period.
Yeah.
Fucking knew it.
Exactly.
Anybody else?
I'm German. I did it just for fun.
No, I get it. I get it.
There's a lot of subcultures in it. The bagpipers and that kind of stuff, island athletes, the main one is heritage, though. So the question I have is, we're kind of thinking about other types of content to put out on, for video. Would it be a good idea or too hooky to do a invite customer in and say, okay, I want to record an entire package sale, soup to nuts, where I gave little hints and tips and tricks during the entire process. And I'm not a salesman. It's more like, okay, tell me your budget. I want to maximize what you can get and the versatility within that. I'm not trying to, squeeze every penny out. Would that come off, do you think, as too sales pitchy, or would it kind of de-escalate the fear?
I think it would do a couple things. One, I think it would open up a different world to you where people would look to you more as like a business and sales guy, which could lead to certain things. Look, I think intent trumps everything. So like, I'm not worried about it being too salesy if the intent is it to not be too salesy.
Okay.
You know? I think the interesting part is like going deeper into the four or five biggest subcultures and making sure you're creating enough content for them. Because heritage makes so much sense and felt like to me is like, damn, that's gotta be the business. But when you start talking about other subcultures, demographics, psychographics, sexualities, things of that nature, you wanna make sure you have enough content filling those pipes.
Do I put that content out organically on Facebook? And if so, I would alienate certain demographics.
Yes, I'm very aware about of America. I would run at, first of all, even if you didn't have the political undertones that we have today, you shouldn't do it because it won't convert. And the media's underpriced. See, Google's not underpriced anymore, it's properly priced. That's why it has a different strategy than Facebook when it's underpriced. No, you run ads. Which is the right way to do it, period. On Facebook, because organic reach is super low anyway. But the ads are underpriced. So the people that are losing on Facebook are emotional that the organic reach is down, so they're checked out. Meanwhile, the ads are underpriced. Cool.
First off, Gary, man, I love watching you think how you go so quickly from being in your head back to your heart, going through your experience, that transition, you look up real quick, and also your body is going right out. So
thanks, man.
Fascinating to watch on the psychological aspect of things. Two-part question. One part about finding talent, another one about developing the marketing aspects of the businesses. All three of my businesses are the same business. They're just doing different jobs.
I understand.
Same angle, right? Originally started off with me being the brand. I was the face. I was doing my What to Do Wednesdays videos, question and answers, all these things. Being in a person-to-person interaction, the rest of my team was get left behind. Mm-hmm. Because I'm the face and brand. Everyone wants to go to Ryder. Let's go see Ryder. Now I got to start going, okay, go see my specialist in this, see my specialist in that. My talent pool in my industries are very small. In New York State, we graduate maybe 200 acupuncturists every year. Now, that's not 200 good acupuncturists. There's probably three or four that are good. How many actually have the quality, the charisma, the characteristics, that heartfelt compassion, that desire to grow, that don't want to do it on their own? Try leveraging the schools. I'll give you a first opportunity, top five grads, immediate job placement, trial run in 6 months. They wanted me to come in and teach for them. I don't want to leverage my time teaching for them for that downplay, or do I?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I haven't listened to enough yet, but very quickly, I want to make sure that it's not your ego that's making the pool small. Mm-hmm. But if, let's say you're right, and that pool is that small, and even if, to your point, even if it was an ego and all 200 were good, that's still not the biggest pool in the world. I think I liked the fact that you ended your sentence with, or do I? Because it's almost like as you're asking the question, you realize, fuck, if my vulnerability is this thing, then yes, there's a lot of things maybe I'd rather be doing, but there might not be anything more valuable than my time on that because I'm in the vulnerability of that pool. There's a bigger question, which is, even if you got the top three every year, you know, employees by nature are always a vulnerability when you're at the vulnerability of an employee's skill set. Mm-hmm. So the model becomes the thing you have to scrutinize.
Sure. Now for me, it's a matter of really the opportunity cost of it.
I get it.
The acupuncture practice has been around now for about 5 years. It's pretty much self-autonomous. It's growing on its own. If I take a step back, I took a 6 month kind of step back to see where things
grow
with
smart.
The administration. And 3 months it started dropping. By 3 months there was a notable decline. I was like, okay, I gotta reel this back in and be on the forefront again and get the leverage moving.
And when you say at the forefront, consumer facing or back of the house operations?
Both going out, doing the marketing, meeting with doctors and lawyers.
The three companies, mm-hmm. One more time,
acupuncturist, CrossFit Gym, CrossFit
yep.
HP, Loving Human Potential. And I kind of put those two together for my personal and corporate results coaching. So I do digital coaching, video conference.
And do all three companies sit under one LLC?
There is one LLC that holds them all, but they're all three individuals or something like that.
And does anybody have any equity in the individuals?
I have one partner for the gym.
Got it.
Sweat equity, no capital.
Understood. I mean, look, when you know, back to what you deal with by, you know, you rodeo, like, you know, when you have too many ideas, like, it's all about having people in place that can execute.
Sure.
and understanding what their incentives are.
Sure.
Some people are incentivized by money, some want the fame, some want
and
vacation.
Really good. That leads to my second part is develop the marketing. I'm like every hat, right? You
yep.
know, like, and I take one hat off for a little while, and everybody else is like, oh, well, you know, we don't want to keep on with the educational videos. We don't see the value in doing that and being the, you know, the industry expert by putting the information, the content, the education out there, the entertainment for them. Do I hire people to be fronts for that? Do I just force people to be like, hey, this is what you gotta do? I can't be in front of the camera and look at a doctor's and treating patients at the same time.
Well, I think one thing that you need, there's a couple things to think about. Number one, you know, like building personal brands as the marketing play is only something that people are paying attention to now because it's hit the zeitgeist, but it's not the right answer all the time.
Sure.
Like, I don't know, MetLife doesn't use the CEO of MetLife, they use Snoopy. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, so I think it's a very, first of all, a lot of people stumbled into it. there's what's going on Instagram, which natively makes it about that more so than other platforms. I there's a lot of ways you could do it. Like, to your point, like, you can hire people that want to do it, or you can start thinking about building it more about the brand and making the marketing about the brand and the brand promise. Equinox doesn't have Ernie Equinox in their content.
That's kind of what I've been doing. I'm pulling myself out and moving the brand itself. But it seems like I'm the only person that wants to try to capture content. Like, my practitioner is like, hey, I want to be here working with the patient.
So why don't you have...
comfortable having a camera person with them and them being on film. I'm the only person like, hey, put me on camera, put me in front of 400 people. I'll talk to them, let's go. It's playtime for me, you know?
When you say camera, not live, just to capture the content to be able to do something?
Yeah, originally I started with the same kind of thing with you, with D-Rock and having people follow me around. And it didn't work out for us, and I had actually got hired by somebody that you had sit in this room a couple of years ago. And Tony, I remember, Kung Fu guy, boxer, does martial arts, passed around there, man.
So he stole your D-Rock?
Yeah, he stole my D-Rock.
He's really good.
He's a good buddy of mine, so
he's really good.
Is he?
Yeah.
It's good.
The kid's great.
Yeah.
Do you want me to steal him?
No, Jason, right?
Jason, yeah,
Jason.
Yeah,
Jason's just a killer.
Yeah, the Jason's the video kid?
Yes. Yep.
Do you want me to steal Jason? just to...
Go get him. Go get him back.
I'm just going to get him just for fun. Just to settle the score.
Exactly.
Get me Jason's info.
Jason's really good.
Get me Jason's info. I'm literally going to steal Jason.
There you go,
dude.
It's just one big meta thing. You come to 4Ds and Jason just moves around.
How do I get these teams of specialists in their field to realize that they want...
You don't. You don't. The reason I win a lot with people who are either celebrities or on their first day when I help them, if I have time to talk to them, is because I realized something a long time ago, which is you can't force people to do things they don't want to do and expect success. There's a very specific reason my report card looked like it did this morning when I posted it. Like, you're not gonna force me to do that. And more importantly, you don't wanna waste the energy convincing.
That's not a character either. Like, I don't
want to. I believe you. So you either A, now hire going forward, where the upfront promises, this is a disproportionate video recording environment. And by the way, if you with a personal brand put this out, here's what I would do. Because this is what... You make a front-facing video on Instagram saying, I'm hiring practitioners in this craft that love being on camera as well because that is my macro thesis for my business. Two things are gonna happen. You'll get deal flow. The people that work for you now may actually raise their hand and say, you know what, change my mind. I'm gonna take that camera.
Yeah, and that's a possibility.
Yeah, and by the way,
key players. I was like, listen, it's not fitting. We're looking to glow, bro.
An amazing thing happens. An amazing thing happens when you put pressure in real life, not in thesis or words.
Yeah.
They're gonna see that video, and they're gonna be like, they're gonna decide if they wanna be there or not. Sure. And some people might not give a fuck, and be like, cool, let's see him hire somebody better at fucking whatever craft than me, and then you do, and then it plays out. I would definitely do that.
Right?
What's that, brother?
Comes down to meritocracy.
100%. And here's the good news. We're going through this at Vayner right now. I'm looking at James and Mark. Like, we had this big meeting, and I was like in the beginning and the end, I was like, look, I'm changing the direction of our creative output and our strategic and creative output. And it's super okay if you don't agree with me because I know it's fairly rogue. And so, like, come and see me, and I'll get you a job doing what you want to do for more money somewhere else. This doesn't have to be bad. Back to personal. I don't want bad. I just don't want to go out of business. I'm in charge of running the business. So I'm gonna change the direction and, you know, you're a hockey player. And we've been playing hockey and now I'm saying we're playing basketball. Not everybody's gonna transfer that skill. And that's okay. And I think that's what you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay that they don't want to. You just know it's super important for your business and you're gonna do it.
That's what I've been doing, so.
That I would definitely do. I also think that you should definitely hire, how are you running ads?
Google, Facebook, yeah.
Who's running them?
I was managing it. I just hired my buddy to start doing it. That's what he does for a living. So.
Got it. And do you have any sense if he's good or not yet?
His history and business is he's my business mentor. He's got his shit together. He's far younger than me and more successful than me. So
yeah.
I take a lot of my advice from him and a lot of it's been working.
So. Good. And he loves to run quant ads?
He loves to run quant ads, he loves to be very successful, and he's willing to put his nose to the grindstone and figure things out.
listen, you know, you've seen it on video, I want you to see it in person. You guys can't run enough Facebook and Instagram ads. Yeah. Now, it's better that you do it well. You know, but know that every industry has a well for now because it's so underpriced. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you could tell me. From kilts to fucking $800,000 fucking drills, they all exist there. I think LinkedIn is super interesting. I brought it up earlier. Like, I think there's a version of that there too. If, you know, you guys hung out a little bit last night, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's a different vibe than this is. We're in an office, we're having an, you know? You had business talk last night, but it's a little more casual, a little more tequila, right? Like, you know, and so the context of the room really matters. And so all of a sudden the video you put on LinkedIn, like we are starting to get mature. I'm looking at Caleb now on my team, you know, like we're starting to get mature about like, okay, like, you know, for example, I mean, you guys know I'm so respected by my fan base of like, and he hasn't wavered and he doesn't curse. He continues to curse. He hasn't stopped even though, but meanwhile, it's just black and white obvious to me that I could be much further along on LinkedIn if I just add beeps, and guess what? Fucking beeps. Like, it's not super complicated. Yeah. Try to win out here and like, you know, LinkedIn's an environment psychology-wise that there's dramatically more qualitative feedback in the comments of like, this guy curses. I loved what he had to say, but I'll never listen to him again. And listen, I don't have the audacity to enforce my will. Like, I'm gonna be me as a human. I'm not gonna stop cursing, but in post-production, we're gonna fucking beep. Got it?
Yeah.
So I do think that, I do think you have to, you know, what? Here's what's tough for entrepreneurs is turning into executives.
It's rough.
And so it's about trust. Mm-hmm. It's about eliminating ego. It's about being really good at firing when you make the wrong call, which really is hard, especially if you're a compassionate, empathetic person. But
it was tough. It's gotten easier.
It does get easier. I used to sit on things for 2 years. Now they're 6 months, you know, like, but they should be 1 month. And that's just the truth.
So we are the B2B company here, right?
Yes.
So a lot of what we've had some, I think, epiphanies over the last year where what we sort of see more and more is the content is boring as shit.
Yep.
Right? If you look at an article.
And it's quietly all sales driven.
Not even quietly. Yeah. It's like, you know, there's always the barrier to entry.
But even the people that try to fake it and like show something, if you like sniff it, you're like, that's a sales. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna start.
It's like free consultations. Fuck you.
Yeah, you know.
So, you know, like, yeah. You know what I mean, though? It works. Yeah, no, but you know what I mean? Like it is. But like, you know what I mean?
100%. So basically what happened is in about May, we started to look at the content, right? We're producing eBooks, we're a consulting firm. So what do? We look at Deloitte, you produce these documents.
Yeah.
Right? Then we look at engagement. Right? And so we put together this GDPR ebook, right?
This
thing's fucking epic, right? It was so good. The engagement, terrible, right? Terrible. Everyone downloading, it's all middle funnel people anyway, people already in our pipeline, or really junior people. So like, started listening to you, right? And started to realize like, wait, I'm not scaled. I think that was part of it too. We're a consulting company. I started the company at first when I started it, I didn't name it Dunlap Consulting because I wanted to say, hey, I wanted to build a company, I wanted to build a brand, right? But what I've realized over time is maybe that was wrong, right? And so what I've looked at is when...
It was wrong because it was the proper point of view of many in a world that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
The internet is a much bigger thing than people realize. And so to your point, where you went to was like, wait a minute, right, I was playing under rules of a yesterday. Yeah. Right? Keep going.
That's exactly right, right? And I wanted to build, if you look at like our consulting world, you've got the beasts and you've got ones and twosies, right?
Yes.
And I always wanted to build a company, right? I was too young to try to build some lifestyle business.
Yeah.
In May, we just said, all right, well, fuck it. I'll just start posting myself on LinkedIn, text-based posts, just talking about the things that we're doing. I think I was always very hesitant. I'd push everything to scale. Scaled is doing these things. And instead, I just started to talk about the things I was doing, and then people figured it out. And I think we started to see at least a path forward for me on LinkedIn, right? Talking about
makes
things.
Sense.
Got lots of posts that are getting
makes sense.
Hundreds of thousands of views, thousands of likes. So like we're starting
it's
to
huge.
Figure out.
It's great.
To figure out some things there.
Are you running paid on LinkedIn yet?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got that floor pricing and it feels expensive.
55, 60 CPMs, right? So.
Yeah, but you can get super narrow.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You can target an HR director in the concrete industry. Like, you know, There's a reason it's $55 CPMs. Like, you can get to, like, do you know how great in a B2B world knowing the title of the person that's seeing it is? You mean perfect?
Yeah, 100%.
So you should 100% test.
Yeah. Yeah,
like tomorrow. Because again, and here's how it works. This is where people fuck up. Pay attention for some of you. If you've decided, we haven't tapped into St. Louis business, I'm making shit up now, in the insurance space. The opening video, right? You know where I'm about to go. Hey, St. Louis insurance dealers, it's me, yes, Dunlap, let's go. Like, you know, like, it, you can't imagine what those first 3 seconds mean, and you can't imagine when you make the video after you know who you're targeting.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other piece we're trying to figure out is Facebook and Instagram, right? For B2B, right? So we are a sales consulting firm.
Real quick.
So we've been thinking about that too.
Don't. Like, one of the things that's really bothering me is you don't have to do everything. You don't have to win on Instagram. The watching everybody try to win on Instagram, mainly because it's the most culturally important platform, and they're really doing it because they want to be cool in real life, not for business, is like the funniest thing I'm watching. I'm like, it's not, like, I'm like, you don't need to win on Instagram, just run Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever it may be, but they're doing it because it's so cultural and they want to have 5,000 followers. But it doesn't, like.
You're saying I have to buy the, it's the cheapest, so for our mind.
Yeah, but I think you can ironically win on Instagram. It's so fucking cheap that it is worth it. The truth is though, you have to squeeze the fuck out of the thing that's obvious before you can even begin to think about the rest. Let me give you one that will work for all of you. I don't know if anybody here has started running pre-roll YouTube ads based on Google search queries, but that's incredible. Actually, can somebody do me a favor? Chanel, can you go ask the media team what the exact terminology is around that? Yeah. Can you go ask Garen, like, to find out? I always say the literal, I don't know what Google's calling it.
Yeah.
It's when you are able to run pre-roll on YouTube based on people's search behavior. So like literally people searching for, like consulting help for my accountant, like buying, like people are searching, buying a drill. And then that same person is going and watching soccer videos, but then you show up and be like, hey, are you in the market for a grill? And he's like, oh shit, I am. How do you know? It's like spooky shit.
Yeah.
Like that spooky shit is based on that.
Right.
That's the best one.
That's great.
That, and the people that did well on Facebook video, they made that understand, right?
Yep.
So it's the intent-based, video brand-based. So think about all, right? You see where I'm going? So mom's going to watch like a clip from her favorite show last night, but you pre-roll in, and 30 days ago she was searching dresses.
Yep.
It's a great product.
What are some of the macro trends you see in B2C that are going to infiltrate B2B in the future, 2019, 2020?
I'll answer you in a different way that I think is really what you're asking. I would heavily lean into HR dynamics.
Okay.
Sales teams are vulnerable because of human things. You will win SaaS sales people. If you made a video of why you should fire your top salesman, it will go viral.
It'll crush.
Crush.
Yep.
And it starts like this. Your top salesman, he or she's a dick, and it's making everybody else suck, and you're fucking letting him and her get away with it because you like the numbers they're bringing in, but they're destroying your fucking company. Let me save you time. That is 97% of SaaS companies' problem right now.
100%.
That shit will go.
Yep.
Let me tell you what happens with that video. You target that video to HR executives on LinkedIn and pay their high vig. If she or he has the juice in the organization, you're gonna get a lot of fucking business.
Yep.
Because they're sitting right now pissed because they know it's a vulnerability, and your video is gonna give them the oomph to go into the CFO's office and say, this game's over. Sarah, CFO, I'm done. We're firing John tomorrow.
Yep. How do you think about it so far?
So human truths is the number one white space in sales right now.
100%. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing that. And the interesting part, text-based, non-image.
I see it.
We've been
on LinkedIn, killing it.
It's been
we
wild.
See it too. Now, what I'll tell you is, I see it too. We see it on our LinkedIn, but we're still doing more video. Here's why. Don't just pander to the platform's algorithms. If your currency is, you know, getting more views, what a video does is it builds more brand.
Right, 100%.
Got it?
Yeah.
So I'm losing the LinkedIn algorithm, but I'm establishing more brand.
Yeah.
And I mix it up. So don't just become one-dimensional on what's working. There's so much of that going on LinkedIn right now. People are scared to try new things because certain things are working. Right now I'm getting the least kind of stuff that I, like engagement and views for the last 2 weeks after the best week I had, because off the momentum of the best week I had, I said, you know what? I'm gonna fucking take my own advice. I'm on a roll right now and every video is getting a million views. Let me put up stuff intuitively that I don't think will do well to learn from.
Yeah.
And it hasn't done well. But the little lemonade clip did super well, and that wouldn't have been something I put up before because that's just fun, lighthearted, not what I do. I'm like, okay, the human stuff, gotta think about that. Opened up a new concept. So you see what I'm doing? Like, as soon as something works for me, I try to destroy it. And what most people do is they become vulnerable to it.
Right. They only do
that thing. Something works and they lean all in, right? And what I do is I never let something have too much I will never die because Google slowed down. I will never let Snapchat destroy me. I will never let Twitter. I'm so diversified, right? Written, audio, video, first in line, my own CRM. I've got your text numbers. I've got your email. Email, text, got it?
What about the difference between like Vayner and you? Meaning, like when you think about on LinkedIn, for example, right, and how you
I bring top of the funnel awareness to the agency. A lot of people don't want to work with VaynerMedia because they don't like me, and a lot of people want to work with VaynerMedia because they like me. But the net's better than not doing it.
100%.
Audio. I would start a podcast yesterday.
Yep.
Audio matters, and what's really great about audio is you can have somebody on the team transcribe the audio and make it written content for you on LinkedIn.
Yep.
The fucking, did you see the deck? Yeah, you need to look at it.
All right, I will.
You can Google it right now, Gary V content deck, or I don't know, something. You're well on your way. Now let me tell you the real answer you're looking for. More. It will go away. Did you do Google AdWords in 2003, when you started?
Yes. No, not quite. Like
2005?
5, 6, yeah.
Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not as good as it is now.
No.
The end. See that reaction from her?
Yeah.
It will go away.
Yeah. It was a waste of time.
It will go away. Because everybody on earth is going to do social media, which is going to raise the prices.
Yeah.
So, you got something? That's the reason I've exploded this last 18 months. I had that conversation with myself. I'm like, okay. I talk about publicly regretting that my dad's liquor store wasn't 200 million because I didn't run enough Google ads. I'm about to do the same fucking mistake. I'm at the top of my game in the thing and I'm gonna fucking be pissed. So fuck it, let's go from 4 to 20 people. Let's fucking go all in, let me be. And you guys, you know, I don't know how long you guys have been following, but the last 2 years are very different than the years before that.
For sure.
Fun industry, dance competition.
Yes.
Everyone's kind of all about it in our kind of world. B2B, average ticket, $20,000 to $50,000.
Average ticket, $20,000 to $50,000,
yeah,
B2B,
the
explain.
Dance competitions, we don't take our money from like the dance, from the parents. We go to the dance studio. So that's kind of like where.
You enable a dance studio to be in the dance competition business.
Correct.
By them paying you $20,000 to $50,000.
To compete, correct.
To compete.
At events, right.
Because the studio enters.
Correct.
I see, and then they do whatever they do underneath.
Right.
Whatever the fuck they're into.
Exactly.
Make a big, not make a big, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
From there, so we're an events-based company, about 180 events. So right now, our social is mostly just for the kids. We really don't have a strategy to say, hey, so-and-so dance studio, come register with us. It's mostly just entertainment.
Good.
Right? So, which does.
How many dance studios are there?
So just in our database, there's about 10,000 dance
Love
studios.
It. Yeah. I'm gonna give you an answer that I think is a B idea for you, but an A, B for everybody else that I haven't gotten to, and then I'll give you some others.
Mm-hmm.
Using Facebook and LinkedIn to create in-person events is unbelievable. And I know that would make sense to you, and it's gonna make like sense to you. My favorite thing in a new neighborhood, and clearly in sales, I would use wine because it's authentic to me. There's also golf. There's also other things. Those two are really, really good. But running ads that say, please, you know, this is back to prospecting. I'm hosting a dinner at this country club, or I'm putting on this, and you go macro. So let's use you as an example, and everybody will take it from here. You pick an area where there's a lot of dance studios, so you can run ads at a lower cost, and you'd say, hey, Phoenix, we're hosting, and it's video, it's very authentic. Back to like right. In front of the camera, you're like, I'm gonna be in Phoenix. We rented out a wonderful room in your awesome steakhouse, Johnny's Steakhouse. I saw the great Yelp reviews. I've been wanting to go there. Got some nice food and wine, and we're gonna be putting on a 20-person dinner where we're gonna talk the state of the union of dance studios, opportunities in social media, how to make more margin, what's happening in the macro trends, how the TV shows have affected us, what's happened in the last 15 years. I've been in the family business my family's been doing this for 35 years. I've been running it for 15, please fill out the form, and I will pick 20 of you. Can't wait to see you on November 19th at 8 p.m. That's your video. The copy has all the information and has a link. It's a Google form. The Google form has questions. One of the questions, first it's like name, studio, revenue, employees, whatever the fuck. But one is an open-ended question where they have to answer it that will give you insight if you think you can convert them.
Awesome.
You spend $500 on the Facebook ads, you pick up a $1,000 tab at the end of the night, and for $1,500 all in, you've got a captive audience where you're the host of, I call it the high school party concept.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whoever was the high school kid whose parents traveled a lot or didn't give a fuck that was able to host the parties, coolness grew dramatically because sure. They hosted the party. Mm-hmm. So like, you watched a lot of people be nerdy freshman year and then become popular because they figured it out and their basement was in play, so the cool kids needed it, so they by osmosis got a little cooler.
Yeah, for sure.
And the worst versions are they woke up and realized they were taken advantage of, and the best versions is it worked out, right? So like, but that was it, right?
Yeah.
That's what I want a lot of you to do. I want you to host the event in a B2B environment or high ticket B2C.
Yep.
See where I'm going?
Yeah.
That will work. It's superhuman. It's incredible networking. The people that are gonna sign up for it are exactly right. Like, they've gotta take time to fill out the form. But like, your personality can shine through and be like, hey, what's the worst that can happen? You can get a free meal. Like, you know, it's really fun. It will really work.
I like that.
It will really work. And then again, everybody here is their own person. There's some unique things, like maybe, you know, come and learn how to rodeo. Maybe somebody here is great at tennis and that's what they want to do. Like as simple as like, this is where I want you to have interpretation.
It's literally keyword targeting within AdWords.
Keyword targeting within AdWords? Because you can just...
Because you can, it doesn't have to be specific to...
YouTube.
Keyword.
Yep, cool. Maybe when Garen comes in here right now, we can show like the URL that explains it.
Okay.
I
couldn't find it.
No worries. Again, if you're a great tennis player and your concept interpretation of what I just said is doing something called like doubles Tuesdays, and every Tuesday you find three people and you're one partner with one, you know, like,
yeah.
Be you. But the most simple like white label one is just like, here's a dinner on the state of the union of our industry. And all you are is a curator of like, maybe one of the things is like, what do you want to cover? Like, you don't have to do anything. Like, 20 people have filled out. What question do you want asked in the room? Good, you take the 15. You don't, right. You're literally like, all right. First question for everybody. How come mortgages are going up? Like, it's the easiest thing to do.
Definitely.
See where I'm going? Don't even have to create the content.
Love it. The other one is paying influencers, but they also compete. So it's like trying to stay...
Neutral,
yeah. Which has been a hard one because we had one influencer who, she was killing it on our views and just, she was reposting, she was commenting, and it was going great. Till she also won, like, and then all of a sudden it's like she won because of...
I think that's a vulnerability for you.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think you should, I think retired players, mm-hmm. players that aren't in it, but yeah, I do think that's a vulnerability that you don't need.
Right.
I would just take that very seriously.
Yeah. And then the last question that I have is kind of just posting, since we have content, we don't lack content. Dancers.
You have unlimited content.
Photos and videos galore.
You have unlimited content. What you need is a post-production machine that creates contextual content.
So with that is, all the music that the dancers are choosing are
popular songs.
Yeah, and it gets taken down.
Yep.
Or we get dinged on YouTube for it. Or we go mute on Facebook. So right now we've been going heavy on story because they don't really take it down.
Because short period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any suggestions on workarounds for that or?
The rules are the rules.
Just go for it.
You know, you could put up stuff and just wait till it comes down.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're doing.
You could do stories.
Yeah.
You're doing the right stuff there.
Awesome.
Here's what I would say, back to the thesis I want to leave you with. when there's a cute little Asian girl dancing, that clip should be targeted to Asian parents.
Gotcha.
You have unlimited content, thus you should be the last person that isn't doing contextual creative at scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it?
Love it.
I mean, it's the craziest thing. Like BET over indexes with African American viewers because they're in it. I mean, like, who watches Tulamondo? Like, you know, like we have to become marketers like that.
Right.
Content at scale, ads, you know what you're targeting with your money, then you make the content. And most people make the content and run ads. Got it?
Awesome.
We are under indexing with SaaS products around finance. Now I'm gonna make content. We are not winning with 400,000. Everything. Let's think about every cliche we can think of.